we are going to go back to Acts chapter number 10 tonight. So I've titled this part two. Took a little bit of thinking about it. And so, building a memorial worth remembering. Amen. I really didn't preach much of my message that I had here. I was short on time. But that's all right. And this is an important time in church history. And it's a time where Cornelius, it would be in your interest to read this story. And you'll see that in chapter 11, Peter goes on to contends what the Bible says. Let's see. In chapter 11, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, the Jews, contended with him, saying, "Thou wentest into men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them?" But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa, and praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the earth." These are all things that were unclean animals that were not supposed to be eaten. "And I heard a voice say unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat." Now, Peter Klein used to be our, help us with our finances, and he was an accountant. And this was Peter Klein's favorite verse in the Bible. Rise, Peter, slay, and eat. There wasn't a donut Peter didn't dislike. Amen? But I said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth." But the voice answered in me again from heaven, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. If you remember what I said this morning. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in the house, which stood and said unto him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and as on us at the beginning. He's going back to how they all got saved at the beginning, at the day of Pentecost. "And then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" And it's a good chapter. When I heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Now that's a big deal. That means those of us here today, they're not Jews. God allowed salvation for us, as he already had in the plan. Now, Let's go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing one more time on this message. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, I pray as always, if there's anybody here today or watching by internet that has not accepted you as Lord and Savior of their life, they don't have eternal life, they're not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, then I pray that tonight they would make that decision. Why wait any longer? It's not about religion, it's about a relationship. Bless now the preaching of the Word of God, we ask you, as only you can, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, getting back to what I said this morning, I titled this, Building a Memorial Worth Remembering, and I added to it, For God. Every one of us ought to want to build a memorial. And not just, you know, I think when I go to the cemeteries, I have some grandparents buried out at Woodmere Cemetery. It's kind of a neat old cemetery in Detroit. Beautiful headstones that are standing up tall and all that. And my grandparents got a nice headstone, stands tall. And, of course, it wasn't that expensive back in the 70s to have somebody buried out there. Now burying people and having one of those big old things is ridiculous. But anyway, it was a memorial to them, and it's a good-looking memorial. But the memorial I want, it has nothing to do with rock or mortar. It has to do with my family knowing that I had a relationship with God. One day when they sit around, whether it's Christmas or Easter or whatever, and I'm off the scene, to be honest with you, I believe that the rapture is going to take place. And I believe that my daughter and my grandson and my wife and my son-in-law and my brother and his family, we're all going to go up to heaven at the same time in the rapture. Our bodies will be left behind. And the unsaved relatives that I have, well, they can deal with the bodies or whatever. They can have my baseball cards. They can have any of the stuff that's hanging around because I won't be in need of it. Amen? We have no idea how good it's going to be what God has prepared for those that love Him. And I mean that, folks. And I asked my wife, I said, well, how many people you think I ticked off this morning, you know, when I preached? And she said, no, you didn't seem angry or anything like that. You just preach from your heart. And it is from my heart. And what I'm trying to get across to people, what I try to get out of me as best I can and try to communicate is that we serve a true and living God. He is alive. He will listen to you. He will bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to hear from you. I've been married 41 years this year. You know what? I decided when I got up today to talk to my wife. Good idea, guys. Talk to your wives. If you don't talk to your wives, let's put it this way. They do a lot more than you do probably in the house. Let's just leave that alone and move on. Amen? First thing I brought up this morning was that Cornelius, the kind of memorial that he brought up that he was building for God, was that he was a man that had faith. This man prayed. The Bible tells us that he prayed and he feared God. Peter said, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. The psalmist said that let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. This is a hard saying for today. It's getting harder as the generations keep going on, because just as Joshua had gathered together those elders back, 3,500 years ago, and he said, told them, you need to get rid of your idol worship. Oh, Joshua, we love God. We love God. And he said, you need to get rid of your idol worship. You know it. I know it. To kind of paraphrase what he did. And then the next book of the Bible, Judges, says that Joshua died. He was 110 and he died. And the next generation knew not the Lord. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He knew his house. If there's anything that's important to me, when I exit this stage called life, the only thing that matters, the only thing that matters is that my family knows God. That's it. That's it. We're not taking anything with us. Right now, there's nobody in here that actually knows what they're worth. I said, Brother Mark, tell me how much money you got. You don't know. But you don't know. And I bet you don't know. You can't tell me how much money you've got. All you get is you get a piece of paper at the end of the month and it says what you think you got. But you don't know you're there. You, all we get are we get something that says we're supposed to have this and that. We have a house that's supposed to be worth this, but we're living in it, so we're not selling it. So what is our true cash value? We don't know, and we're not taking it with us. And so the only thing that we can actually take with us and go to heaven and feel good about it is to know that we know that our family knows God. That is it. That is the wealthiest you can be. If your family knows God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior, then you're a wealthy man or a wealthy woman. That's it. The book of, back to Cornelius, he was a Gentile. Salvation was for the Jews. The book of Romans in chapter 1 says this, verse 18 through 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Goes on to say, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even this eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's not going to be an excuse when people get to heaven, they face God, and every one of us will stand before God. Paul said, therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Every one of us is going to stand before God for judgment. Those of us that are Christians that were saved, were born again, we will stand before God for judgment. But it's going to be that judgment in 2 Corinthians 5:10 is talking about a bema seat judgment. It's Paul was into Olympics. He was into sports. And so it's just like standing and getting our awards. So there's a time where we're going to stand before God and we are going to be getting awards, crowns, and what for? To lay at the feet of Jesus. The sad part is this. Now, if you lead somebody to Christ, and Scott, how many people have you led to Christ? Okay, we're looking for 10. Scott knows 9. He's stuck on 9. So we got to ask him every week, Scott, how many people have you led to Christ? It's like a baseball card. On the back of the baseball card, it's got your stats, it's got your hits, your RBIs, your home runs, and all that stuff. Okay? And I consider winning a soul to Christ a home run. If anybody were to say, who was the number one home run king in the world? Lynn, who would you say? Who said Babe Ruth? Right there, he hung out with him. Amen? Babe Ruth. Now, of course, we can talk about the other guys, Hank Aaron, Barry Bonds, all that stuff. But the first thing comes to your mind is Babe Ruth, isn't it? So when we look at back of a baseball card, what do we think about? Home runs. So if we look at the back of a baseball card, I don't know about you, but I've got a couple of baseball cards, and I'll look at the back, and I'll go right to the home runs, and I want to see how many home runs somebody hit. I don't know. That's just me. I don't go to RBIs. I go to home runs. They say, Aaron Judge, if he stays healthy, he's going to hit over 800 home runs. And I believe the guy's an ape. I mean, he is 6'8", pure muscle. Babe Ruth was a drunk and kind of a slob. And this guy's just, you know. And I believe he's going to hit 800 home runs. But anyway, now take that back to us. Now, when we go to heaven, I believe we've got some kind of record ourselves, and we're going to know exactly, God knows exactly what we've done for Him. How many people we helped. Maybe that's an RBI. Somebody that needed some food. And they come up to you and they ask you, "Excuse me, sir, would you buy me some food?" Typically, we blow people off, but my wife will tell you there's many a time that I've given people money to buy food. And if I got ripped off, I got ripped off. But you know what? I'd rather be on the right side of history with that and try to buy somebody a meal. One time I was at a parking lot, a guy come up to me. He had a sign, and he was an illegal immigrant. Listen, Biden let him in. And this guy's standing there, and he's got his wife, and he's got kids with him. And the kids are probably hungry. You know what? I gave him money. And I said, "I want you, you promised me you're going to feed these kids tonight." And he said, "Sir, thank you, I will." And I gave him money. I think God looks at these things. I think sometimes we actually entertain angels unaware. I think all of us will be tested one time when an angel actually walks up, not needing our help, but comes up to us and says that they need our help just to see how we treat them. And I think it goes on the back of our card when we get up to heaven. It'll be brought back to remembrance of us. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. I'm just speculating. I'm just saying, if I were God, I would want to know how people treat other people. See, we can all be spiritual when it comes Sunday. But how are we on Tuesday? Amen? I guess that's what I'm trying to get to. See, Cornelius prayed every day. He gave alms every day. If you're a prayer warrior, you pray all the time. There's people we can count on that we know pray in this church. Like right now with Miss Sherry's mother, she knows that she has people she can count on in God's house that are praying to God and talking to God about her mother. Let me tell you something. When it comes down to it, one day every one of us is going to need prayer. Everybody's got something going on. So he had faith. God knew his faith. His faith was a memorial before God. In verse number 3, he had a vision of the angel of the Lord, but before that, he had faith. And you and I have not seen God. He's never seen God. But yet he served God. He had faith with God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." God wants us to stay straight down the line. Oh, God, help us to be known as saints with an unwavering faith. Amen? That people can come in and see us and count on us to be who we portray to be. And not be a phony. Not be one way on Sunday, another way on Thursday. Amen? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 11, the faith chapter, in verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." You know the thing I like about Enoch? Is he was 66 years old. He was not a man of faith, but he had a son by the name of Methuselah. And when he had Methuselah, he became a man of faith. And he lived to be 366 years old, I believe it is. And then God translated him and took him. So for 300 years, he served God, and he built a memorial for God. And God says, "You know what? That's enough. I want you up in heaven with me." And he had that good of faith, Enoch did, that God translated him. So Cornelius left a memorial of a devout man that had faith. The second thing we see is Cornelius, his memorial to God, was he was a man of prayer. Man of prayer. In Acts 10:4, "And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial for God." What a way to be remembered, especially by God, is to be somebody that prayed and believed in prayer. Oh, one might ask, but he wasn't saved. Well, Cornelius could not be saved apart from a correct understanding of the gospel. Why do you think God sent Peter? He heard in Jeremiah 29:13, God used the prophets, and Jeremiah 29:13 tells us that if we seek God and search for Him with all of our heart, we shall find Him. Well, Pastor, what about the people that live in a jungle that never heard the gospel or whatever? If you'll seek me and search for me with all your heart, God says you'll find me. God will providentially reach down and put somebody in your path. Ed and Marie, it's not by accident you showed up at this church. God put you in this church. Why? Not because of me, because of this church. And as you keep going in this church, Lynn, same with you. All of a sudden, one day, when did you start coming here? Of this year? A year ago. You've been coming here for a year and 3 months or 15 months. Wow. How did you find us? Amen. God directed you here. The woman behind you that looks like my mother, she lived clear on the other side. Whatever that is. And west of Kalamazoo. And she was moving here, and she came here. And when she came here, she knew this was the right church. And we're glad to have you. Amen. Isn't God good? That God providentially reaches down, and He knows His children, and He reaches down, and He puts us where we need to be. Man, God's good at doing that. It's almost like He knows what He's doing. Amen? So Cornelius could not be saved apart from the gospel. He was seeking God. He was praying God to God. He was giving alms. He was giving offerings. He was doing everything he could do to catch God's attention. Guess what? He got it. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's no other way of getting saved other than through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Irish or Polish or whatever you are. It doesn't matter. You must come to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Cornelius was seeking God by prayer, and God heard that prayer for whatever reason. See, God can hear all of our prayers. Get this now. I know you've heard me say, "Well, Pastor, God won't listen to our prayer unless we're saved." You're right. But the thing was, as he kept praying to God, God, I'm sure his prayer was something like, "God, would you draw me closer to you? God, I want to have a relationship with you. God, I want to know you. Show me what I can do. God, I'm going to give alms and offerings to whoever I can to help draw them closer to you." And God saw his heart. You know what some of us need? Some of us need heart surgery. Some of us need God to come in and rework the thing in there called our heart and get it right with God. And then when we get it right with God, then God's pleased with us. And all God's people said. That's true. And so that's why God listened to Cornelius' prayers. And God hears everybody's prayers. But listen, if somebody isn't going to get saved, if somebody won't bow a knee to God, then God is going to ignore your prayers. But with Cornelius, his heart was so right with God, God couldn't help but say, Cornelius, you need to be written in my Lamb's Book of Life. So I'm going to send Peter. And he's going to tell you what to do. He's going to tell you that you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my Son. My Son died on that cross for you. He'll explain it. Amen. The Bible tells us this in Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9. Isaiah, God speaking through Isaiah. Isaiah wrote this. He said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Isn't that good? Well, I like it. "Call ye upon him while he is near. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. Cornelius didn't pretend to have God figured out. Cornelius didn't pretend to be the local Bible scholar. Cornelius didn't pretend to be the know-it-all, and Cornelius didn't pretend to be the most spiritual guy on the block. What Cornelius had was private. I don't see anything where it was public what Cornelius was doing. Cornelius was going to, as Brother Kevin talks about, his prayer closet. He's going to his prayer closet and getting tight with God and getting close to God, and he knew that he was communicating where God could hear him. And that's all God wants from you. God wants your best. You give God your best, and God knows it. Oh, listen, salvation is simple. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's none righteous, no, not one. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all know those scriptures. But what God is looking at is God is looking at Cornelius' heart. And Cornelius had become, before he died and left this planet, Cornelius had become a memorial for God. That the God of the Jews, he knew was real. Oh, that we might leave behind a memorial that we were a man or a woman of prayer. Again, Jeremiah 29:13. I've got it in my notes. "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with all your heart." Cornelius used every bit of his heart. He poured it all out. And God heard his prayers. God answered his prayers. And through his prayer, God killed two birds with one stone. He sent his most bigoted apostle to lead a Gentile to the Lord. Now, back to Acts chapter number 10 with me. In Acts 10, Acts 11 is where Peter describes what happened in Acts 10. And Acts 10 is where Peter was debating with God about food and this and that, and he said in verse number 13, "And there came a voice saying to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is uncommon, or that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, What God hath cleansed, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, that call not thou common." This happened three times. Something about Peter and three times. Notice that? This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself, there's doubting Peter now, what this vision was, which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Paul was the apostle that would eventually go to the Gentiles. And Paul was off to Bible college in the Arabian desert, where God was revealing to him His Word through revelation. 3 years. I've often wondered, why 3 years? Why didn't God just go, bam, you revealed My Word, you know My Word? And I've often said that I think because Paul was human, he wanted to see if Paul would quit. I think he wanted to see if Paul would quit on God. I know when I went to Bible college, I think I quit about 142 times. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Man, I'm so glad I went through it. I'm so glad I did it. I'm glad I achieved it. I finished it. And I'm glad, and God has blessed us with what's happened afterwards. So let me wrap this one up. Cornelius' memorial to God was not only faith, but prayer. Let me give you a third thing. So not only faith and prayer, but Cornelius was a memorial to God by his giving. The Bible tells us in Acts 10:2, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. The Bible goes on and tells us in verse number 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." Again, he was a Gentile. Cornelius was a Gentile. He didn't have a clue about tithing. He didn't have the scriptures. He didn't have the Old Testament. He didn't know about tithing that went back that Abraham tithed. Tithing didn't start with the law. Tithing didn't start with Moses. We see that Abraham tithed. We see that Adam and Eve tithed. They gave 10% to God. A tithe is 10%. If you want to give more than 10%, then the tithe is 10%, and then it's an offering after 10%. That's the way it works. You can't say, "Well, I tithed last month, and I tithed 15% of my income." Good. You gave 10%, which is a tithe, and 5% as an offering. Y'all with me tonight? Tithing is a good place to start. And you'll realize the closer you get with God is that you cannot outgive God. I could tell story after story after story. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But I'm just telling you that Christians, that's why I give a discipleship book for some of you people. One of the things in there talks about giving back to God. And when we give back to God, and let me tell you something. I've said this before. I'll say it again, that your pastor and his wife tithe. Is that right? And if we go on vacation, we leave our tithe with the guys. And if anybody ever wanted to see what the pastor gives, I would gladly show it to you. Because I have one lady one time years ago. She was always a troublemaker anyway. But one time in a Sunday school class, I was teaching about, hey, when you got a brand new church you started, you need to teach people how to give to God. Amen? And it just doesn't come through osmosis. And so I taught them about giving to God, and I took our tithing sheet, our giving sheet from the year before, made copies of it, handed out to everybody in my Sunday school class. And boy, you saw that look on her face. You know what that look is, Miss Catherine? You know what this look is? When I hand out what Mrs. Lee and I give for a tithing statement, this says it all. It says, "I don't tithe." That's what that look is. That look is, "I don't like what the pastor's doing." Well, too bad. The door swings both ways. Trust me, God knows my heart. I'm not trying to be obnoxious with this. What I'm saying is I was trying to teach people that you cannot outgive God, and part of worship is giving. What did the Magi do when they showed up to the baby Jesus, when they caught up to him, which he might have been up to 2 years old at the time? What'd they do? Frankincense, myrrh, and what? Gold. They gave gifts. They gave. I have never been one of those pastors that constantly, well, let's have a love offering tonight, folks. Let's have a love offering again and again and again and again and again. One time we had a revival, an evangelist got up and he said, well, I hope there's some left for me. You guys have already taken 3 or 4 offerings. And he was right. It was embarrassing. We shouldn't have to take up a gazillion offerings. We take one up at each service, morning, night. There's some people that can't make morning service. They got to work. They come at night. They want to be able to give God their tithe, God's tithes and their offerings. That's the way of worship. And Cornelius worshiped God through giving. He didn't know how to tithe. So you know what he did? He gave alms. He gave to people that were in need. He obviously was a man of good means, a man of wealth. And you know something? What he did was he took and he looked for people that were in need, and that was his way of giving back to God. And God saw it, and God appreciated it, and he saw it as a memorial for God. The Bible tells us that, well, those were basically love offerings. Whether it was a beggar on the street, whatever. Now I'll go ahead and tell about one person, because she's no longer here anymore. She's in heaven now. But Mary Lang. Mary Lang was a woman of prayer. That woman prayed. And that woman also gave. She gave. I watched when it drive me nuts. She couldn't hear anything. But yet she'd pay $5,000 for one woman to have brand new hearing aids, and she'd sit over here and couldn't hear a word. That's why she sat up front, because she wanted to hear me. She wanted to get close. So we had these hearing devices. She'd stick that in her ear. It wouldn't help because she couldn't hear anything. Mary, would you please go buy yourself some hearing aids? She finally bought herself some hearing aids. Then she'd never have a battery in them. Or she would lose them. Whatever the case, Mary was building a memorial for God, and you know what? I know that woman had I know the kind of money Mary had. She rent, her husband died in the 1980s in a business that was a sanitation business that was a man's business. She told me all about it. They were all taking bets on her how long she'd last in that business. Well, she ran that business for 40 years, and she did a great job at it. I always said Mary was the hardest working man I had in church. And she run that business, and she was old-fashioned, but I'll tell you what, she had a work ethic. She worked and worked and worked, and you know what? She didn't take one dime with her, but she told me one day, she sat down with me, and many a day she asked me about the people in this church. Some of you are in here right now, more than one. And she would ask me, what about this person? What about that person? Does this person need help? Does that person need help? You know why? Because she told me one day, Miss Catherine, she said, this isn't my money. This is God's money. This is God's money. She built a memorial for God just like Cornelius did. And let me tell you something. When you can't outgive God. See, what God does, let you in on a little clue. This isn't just some preacher talking. This is factual. Because I've lived it. Been there, done it, seen it with my own eyes. See, when God can trust you, He will put more in your hands. It's kind of like your faith. See, God will give you faith, and then you use up that faith. Okay? God will give you more faith. Then you use up that faith. God will give you more faith. If you're someone that is stingy, don't expect God to bless you financially. But yet, if you're the type of person like Mary Lang was, that sought out people when they came in, didn't know anything about you. Now, some of you people in the back, you may not have talked as much to Mary because she came right down, she sat right down here. But Londa, you know as well as I do, she looked right over at you. What'd she do? She took you out to lunch, didn't she? she wanted to, but she passed. She had her eyes on you because she could see you, and you were new to her. She wanted to know if you needed anything. That's the Mary Lang that we had, that we were blessed with for since the beginning of our church. Never forget when she came in. She sat back about where Lynn, about where you're at, and maybe another row back at the other church. She stayed there. She came about February, somewhere around there. And she came up and told me, she said, yeah, my husband was a Baptist. That's good for beginners. She said, I'm Pentecostal. I said, whatever. I don't care what people call themselves. And she waited until Mother's Day, 2008. We started the church October 2009. Mother's Day, 2008, she joined our church. And we were blessed, blessed to have that woman. When I preached her funeral, she got the shoe funeral. The shoe funeral is when I ask for three or four pairs of shoes. And I say, who's going to fill them? These were shoes that were soul winner shoes. These were shoes of a servant. By the way, here's a woman that had more money probably than anybody in this place right now. And her shoes, frankly, were kind of disgusting. They were curled up. The last time I saw a pair of shoes like that, there was a house on top of the woman. Amen? They were shoes of a worker, of a servant, of a soul winner, of a giver. They were shoes of a woman that had a memorial for God. Folks, what I'm trying to tell you today is, listen, we talk about Memorial Day. There's no better memorial that we can think of than being a memorial for God. And doing things for God the best of our ability. You're not planning on, well, I'm going to do this or this and this such time. Dive in and do it for God. He's watching everything you're doing. God loves you. That He sent His only begotten Son, the only man born of God, that went to the cross of Calvary, died for you, for all your sins. Oh, this is good. It really is. So Cornelius gave his time, he gave his talents, and he gave his money to the needy. And he built a memorial for God. Give him back to God. Let me give you one more thing about him. Is that, most importantly, Cornelius was a memorial to God by being a devout man, a man of prayer, a giving man. But most importantly, get this now, he became a memorial to God being a saved man. Being a saved man. Now, you may say, well, that's obvious, Pastor. What are you talking about? I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you now. Back in Acts 10, verse 25-26, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. Somebody needs to tell the Catholic Church that. Peter was not the first pope. He was a man. He was married. He had a mother-in-law. Who wants a mother-in-law and they're not married? Don't get a wife with it. Verse 34 and 35, then Peter opened up his mouth and said, oh, of the truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And verse 39 and 40, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised at the third day and showed him openly. Verses 44 and 45. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, this is Pentecost all over again. Now watch this now. Like the Philippian jailer, not only did Cornelius get saved, but in chapter number 11, verse number 14, we see all his house got saved. That's our goal as a memorial to God, folks. When we're a memorial to God, our children get saved. Our grandchildren get saved. Our nieces and nephews get saved. Our cousins get saved. Everybody gets saved. Why? Because somebody became a memorial to God. Cornelius' salvation became a memorial to God Almighty and to man. And to man. Remember, salvation was for the Jews, not the Gentiles. In Acts 11, 1 and 2, here we go. I already read this, but and the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. They argued with him. What are you doing, Peter? That's our salvation. Salvation is not for anybody else but us Jews. Gentiles speaking in tongues. Now it made sense. Not just Jewish nations. Listen now. Turn your Bibles. Please do this. You got a Bible, turn your Bible to Matthew 28. And I'm going to wrap this up, and you're going to get it, and you're going to say, oh, wow. Pastor, this is so good. Can we take up a second offering tonight? I just feel so good about this. I just want to do something for God. This is good. You may even say, amen. Some of you may give me a holy grunt. Something. But this, we're going to lock and load right now. If you're there, say amen. Go to Matthew 28, verse number 19, 20. Go ye therefore and teach what? Teach what? Teach who? Well, if salvation is just for the Jews, why did the Lord Jesus Christ say, yep, there it is. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am always with you, always, even to the end of the world. Amen. You get it? See, they didn't have the New Testament written out for them yet. But they remember what Jesus said. And right there, Brother Matthew had it in his notes. He said, wait a minute. When Peter came up to contend with the other apostles, am I making sense, Brother Mark? If not, take over for me anytime you feel led to do it. He goes up there and the other apostles are arguing with him and contending with him that salvation is just for the Jews. He said, well, wait a minute. Don't you remember? And then Matthew, I got to think that Matthew, Miss Catherine, stood up and said, wait a minute. I've got my notes. Let me just see what Jesus actually said. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And by the way, the word all means all. And there it is. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things. There's that all word again. Whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. Argument over. Peter, I got to think, he had a drop the rock moment. They didn't have a mic back then. Otherwise, it would be drop the mic moment. So he had a drop the rock moment. And he turned and flipped his wig, whatever, and walked out. He won that argument. What do you think, Brother Kevin? All nations. Nothing's changed. Now we got to get busy. And God will bless us as we go out, knock on the door, say hi. Pastor Lee from Cornerstone Baptist Church. I'm just out inviting people to come to church. looking for a church home. I've been so busy doing things. Brother Ed, you don't understand what a blessing you are to me about cutting the grass. See, now that you're cutting the grass, and if you continue to do it, I hope you do, because you did a great job. And I'm not just sucking up to you. I'm telling you, you did a great job on it. But you see, that's what needs to be done, is that we spread things out for different people to do different things so that the pastor can spend time studying. The pastor can go on hospital visits. The pastor can go and knock on a door with his wife because he knows how to do it. And just talk to people and say hi. Because people out there are hurting. People out there are praying. They're praying to God. They don't know how to get to God, but they're praying to God just like Cornelius did. And God is wanting to send us to go out and knock on people's doors and say, "Hi, I'm Pastor Lee. Hi, I'm Miss Londi. Hi, I'm Miss Catherine. I teach a Sunday school class. I see you got toys out here. You got kids? Did you ever go to Sunday school when you were a kid? I teach Sunday school. We have a great time." And we build the church up that way. Let me tell you something. That's what Cornelius did. I wish I could see what Cornelius... I want to meet Cornelius when I get to heaven. I'm going to look him up. I'm going to look up Cornelius. And I'm going to walk up... I'm not going to walk up to him and say, "Hey, dude, what's happening?" No, I'm going to be respectful. And I'm going to say, "Brother Cornelius, tell me how it was being the first Gentile that was allowed to be saved. Can you tell me about that?" Oh, I'll meet Jesus. That's the first one I want to meet. But Cornelius kind of comes in like one of the top, he's in the top five or six that I'd like to meet when I get to heaven, that are regular men. But regular men that love God. And when you're a regular man or woman that loves God, then you can become such a memorial for God, you don't even realize what a memorial you are, that you are making an influence and an impact on your family, on your society, on your coworkers you work with. Let me tell you something. They know who you are, what you're all about. Let me tell you, Mary's family knew everything about her. And her prayer was that her whole family would get saved. And she wanted me to preach her funeral, and she told me, she said, "You let them have it." That was her way of saying, give them the gospel. Don't go in there guns a-blazing, picking people off. I do that out without preaching. She wanted them to hear the truth, that they must be born again. Salvation is for everybody. There it is right there. Matthew 28, verse number 19, all nations. The Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, thou shalt be saved. So let me ask you this, folks. You heard me preach this morning. You heard me preach tonight. What is your memorial going to be? Is it going to be strong? Is it going to be solid? Is it going to be a memorial that when you get to heaven, God's going to look at you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Unfortunately, so, you know what the sad part is, Catherine? I don't mean this. I got to be done, but I got to get this out of me. I got to get this out of me. The frustrating thing for me as a pastor, and it has been for 18 years that we started this church, Brother Mark, is that I will preach and preach and preach, and some people come in, "Good morning, Pastor." If they say that, sometimes they don't even say good morning. Sometimes they don't say goodbye or anything. And that doesn't matter. I got my wife. She keeps me, she wipes away my tears. But there's a message that is in me. It hasn't changed. And Doug out there, Brother Doug, sitting right out there. Hi, Doug. Everybody wave Doug. It's all right. He's right there. Brother Doug will tell you that I talked to him at the Walmart parking lot. That's what I do, is I talk to people. And I don't care if you work at Walmart or you're shopping at Walmart like he was. He had a golf cart, and we had my wife's golf cart. And we're going to start a golf cart club. But I use that to start communicating. That's what all of us should do, is use something and just find common ground. Remember what Paul said: to the weak, I became weak. To the Jews, I became Jew. He was a chameleon. He changed colors. And that's what we need to do. It's not about who's sharper, who's the best, who's this, who's that. No. It's about who has a memorial for God, who has a love for God, who wants to share that love that they got for God. And God, Luke 12:12, will give you the words you ought to speak in that hour. There comes a point, like my pastor used to say, that when God says Raymond and whispers his name, he hears him. It's the same thing that when we whisper a word, God hears us. And that's where I want to be. Is that when I speak to God, when I walk through here the other day and I check on the boiler to make sure it's all right. And Brother Mark and I both do that on Saturday nights. Whatever it's going to be, boilers, air conditioners, whatever it's going to be. But I walked through and I just prayed as I walked through and I touched these pews. And I thought, you know, when I grew up in church, I had a church that had white pews. And when we came to this building 9 years ago, and I saw the white pews, I knew this is where God wanted us. And God has had his hand on us ever since. And God is blessing this church and continues to bless this church. And folks, you got on the right train here, because this is the church that God has his hand on. You can go to a church that has 1,000 people in it, but if God's hand isn't on it, I don't want to be there. They're just making noise like tinkling brass. This church has love in it. God is blessing this church. That verse, Matthew 28:19, when Peter went up and contended and argued with those guys, and those Jews can be stubborn. I got to think Matthew was sitting right there, Brother Mark. He says, hey, I got my notes. This is what Jesus said. Done deal. Now you people can get saved. Let's all stand. We'll have a time of invitation. Brother Mark, you want to come up, and Miss Catherine? And if anybody wants to use the altar tonight and wants to pray, you'll have time to do that. If not, we'll go home, but you will have the opportunity. Amen. So if you two would come, and our heads are bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. And we thank you for those little nuggets that we see in your word that just confirms that you are God, and you're God for everybody. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your word. Pray that you bless now this time of invitation. Bless those that watch by internet. And I pray that the people that watch by internet would change their pattern and yet come to the house of God and visit in person. Bless now this time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother, what are you singing?
319.
Brother Mark.